Very good. Well, we'll get started. Welcome, everybody, to the Friday, May 21st Fire City's Fire Authority Board meeting. I'll call it to order. Just want to remind everybody that we are still under the governor's orders and operating by teleconference, and citizens that want to participate can call 1-833-611-0393. And I'll move on to flag salute. If you'd please join me silently with the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And Tricia, could we get a roll call, please?
Yes. Chair Storton?
Here.
Vice Chair Lee?
Here.
Board Member White?
Here.
Thank you. Everybody's here. For the agenda review, is there any business on the agenda that anyone on the board would like to make any changes? If not, if I could get a motion to approve the existing agenda, that'd be great.
So moved.
Second.
All right, a move and a second. By voice, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Great. We'll move forward to the approval of the minutes. This would be the minutes from the board meeting of April 16th. Any comments, Jeff, on the minutes?
None for me.
None
right.
for me.
Karen, you have?
None for
okay.
me.
Okay. Great, thank you. Did I get a motion to approve the minutes?
So
I so move.
And I'll second.
Jeff, I heard you. Okay, well, okay. Then I'll defer to Karen as the first, Jeff as the second. Can we get a roll call, Tricia?
Yes. Board Member White?
Yes.
Vice Chair Lee?
Yes.
Chair Storton?
Yes, the minutes have been approved, 3-0. We'll move on to community comments and suggestions at this time. If anybody from the public has anything to share about today's meeting that are items that are not on the agenda, they can do so, and they can call 1-833-611-0393. Tricia, do we have anyone online?
We do not have any public comment right now.
Great. Thank you for that. We'll move on to the consent agenda. We have one item, our cash disbursement activity. Any comments from the board? Jeff, I'll go to you first. Do you have anything regarding the consent agenda?
Nothing for me, thank you.
Thank you. Karen, how about you?
Nothing for me.
Great. Tricia, do we have any public comment on the consent agenda?
We do not.
Great. If I could get a motion, please.
Make a motion to approve the
He's got it. I second.
Very good. I've got a motion and a second. Tricia, could we get a roll call?
Vice Chair Lee?
Yes.
Board Member White?
Yes.
Chair Storton?
Yes. Thank you. The consent agenda passes 3-0. We have nothing under continued business. We'll move on to new business. Item A. This is a consideration of a resolution declaring weeds and vegetation regarding our public nuisances and weed abatement. So I'll turn it over to the chief for a report.
Good morning, board. Steve Lieberman, fire chief. This is the beginning of our annual weed abatement process. The staff report today reflects the findings of the initial inspections in our three-member communities. You'll see an attached list with assessor parcel numbers and descriptors of the properties that have been identified as needing abatement. Those properties have all been notified. The next step will be the property owners have until May 28th to abate their properties, and shortly after that date, final inspections will take place. And the list of properties that remain unabated we'll come back to you at the June meeting for final action. And once that happens and the board takes affirmative action, we will go ahead and notify our contractor, and the weeds will be cleared shortly after that June meeting. I will stop there with the brief presentation and entertain any questions the board may have.
Great. Thank you very much. Jeff, do you have any questions for the chief?
Just a quick question, and I think we ask this probably each year with respect to cost recovery. And I recall that for a number of years, the cost recovery was above what we had budgeted, but we seem to be getting better response, or so I'm wondering if you can just kind of speak to that momentarily and make sure that we do have either adequate budget or we have a plan for what happens when people don't do their appropriate weed abatement.
Thank you for that question. So the answer is a little loose in that there's several options. Obviously, we want people to abate their properties and be responsible without us having to tell them to be responsible and to abate their properties. In the past, we have had extensive costs, and that was mainly due to large parcels that were driving the cost above the approximately $12,000 we have budgeted every year. We have started working with those larger parcel owners and just trying to get them to maintain a defensible space between adjoining property lines. And sometimes we will not include those parcels on the weed abatement list if we can get them to do that clearance from property line to property line. Also, if you take a look, and I'll pick on Arroyo Grande for a moment, you will see numerous properties registered to the same homeowners, typically in the names of trusts or corporations, and those are oftentimes the property APNs that are challenging in terms of cost control. So to answer your question, there have been times in the past where we've exceeded the weed abatement budget of $12,000. So, for example, I believe a couple years ago we spent $24,000. And from an accounting perspective, the issue that causes is when the assessor reimburses the Five Cities Fire Authority for the costs, those costs are recovered in the next fiscal year. So if we were to go over budget, we would be over budget in this line item in the current fiscal year, and then we would recover those revenues in the next fiscal year. So it's an accounting timing issue more than anything else, but the bottom line is we're going to try to stay within our budget.
Thanks for that explanation, and that's all the questions I had, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Jeff. Karen, do you have anything for the chief?
Yeah, I don't have a question, but I have a comment. I see that the Temple of the People is on that list, and they borrowed an extra tractor from John Taylor, and they're boogieing themselves. I'm hearing it running every day, so I think they will certainly be compliant by the time of the final deadline. It's just, there's a lot of property here and a very small maintenance department. So I think they will be off the list.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, that is good news.
Yes, thank you.
Was that all you had, Karen?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
okay,
you know.
Thank you. Chief, I just had a quick question. I was curious. I know that it takes a lot of work for staff to go out and take care of and put this list together. Has there ever been any discussion of ongoing education? Certainly, you know, I don't want to alleviate staff with any more burden of work that they already need to do, but is there a value to even doing kind of a pre-education type of process to get people prepared for the eventual notifications that they may get? I'm not certain. And I've never really looked either if we have a common list of common offenders that might be a outreach earlier in the season to get them prepared.
So great question with a multi-pronged answer. First of all, I will start by saying we have property owners, and I will say more so in Oceano and Grover Beach, that are out-of-area owners, actually all three communities. The property owners do not live in the area, and sadly, they use this process for us to manage their property. So we're always going to have that issue, I would think, even with education. Secondly, I believe the weed abatement program, honestly, is not a fire prevention program, but a nuisance program. And to answer your question about education, I would much rather take this budget and the staff time that goes with it and really talk about fire prevention, defensible space, landscaping, using the right landscaping, limbing trees away from people's homes. I think it's two different topics, honestly. Weed abatement we've never really seen it as a significant fire threat. It's just one of those things that's been in existence in the municipal codes for a long time.
Very good. No, I appreciate that explanation. That's all the questions I had. Without any further board questions, I'll open it up for public comment. Tricia, do we have anyone from the public wanting to respond to this issue?
We have not received any public comments.
Okay, thank you. I'll bring it back to the board. Unless there's any further questions, I'll leave it open for a motion.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we, that the board adopt a resolution declaring weeds and vegetation on certain properties to be seasonal and recurring public nuisances and provide for weed abatement consistent with health and safety code sections 14875.
Second.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a second and a motion. Can we get a roll call, please?
Vice Chair Lee?
Yes.
Board Member White?
Yes.
Chair Storton?
Yes. Passes 3-0. We'll move on to new business item. This is B. This is consideration of authorization to lease purchase a replacement Type 3 wildland fire engine. Chief, I'll leave it to you for the report.
Thank you, Chair Storton. Good morning again. This request, the staff report, is to request authorization to move forward with the lease purchase of a replacement wildland engine. The wildland engine is a unique piece of equipment within the authority. I'm sure that you've seen it in your visits to the fire station, but it's a four-wheel drive fire engine with a shorter wheelbase, higher clearance, and it's set up for off-road use and pump and roll. So the vehicle can be moving while the firefighter is using the hose lines. The wildland engine is really indispensable to our service area, whether it's the Oceano and the Dunes area or Eastern Arroyo Grande in that urban interface, and even in Grover Beach and some of the open space areas. The Type 3 engine is an invaluable tool. Unfortunately, the current wildland engine, which has served us well, was purchased by the Oceano CSD in 1999. And the engine has definitely surpassed its 15-year life cycle, being 22 years old, and is in need of replacement. As I convened a working group to begin specifications on a replacement engine, I also reached out to the two city managers and the district general manager and told them of this, my intention, in that we needed to order this equipment. It would be a debt obligation lease payment with the first payment not occurring until the next fiscal year. So we're talking about fiscal year 22-23. I'm really proud of the work staff did in contacting two vendors, BME, Boise Mobile Equipment, and Pierce, which represents the majority of our fleet, and having them build two comparable specifications. When it was all done, you can see in the staff report that the variance between the two vendors was within less than $3,000, with Pierce actually coming in a little bit less than BME. So once we took the staff recommendations and the considerations, the pros and cons of both manufacturers, we really came forward with a recommendation to stay with Pierce. And I will tell you the main reason to stay with Pierce is warranty and long-term maintenance. Prior to my arrival, and actually shortly after my arrival with Five Cities Fire, the Pierce dealer, South Coast Fire Equipment, they're based in Ontario, and that was the closest facility for any Pierce warranty or maintenance work. Shortly after my arrival, South Coast Fire Equipment opened a maintenance facility in Paso Robles, and that has been of substantial and significant benefit to the Five Cities Fire Authority as well as other agencies in this county who do not have the luxury of having full-time staff fire mechanics. So number one is the long-term maintenance on the vehicle. If you look in the staff report, there's other subtle nuances that will, an example is an auxiliary pump. Just between the two manufacturers and the subtle differences on how they're configured is a $75,000 variance over the lifetime of the vehicle. Again, making the Pierce standard, so the pump panel on the Type 3 engine, while it will be different than our big Type 1 engines or the Ariel, the color coding and the labeling will be consistent, which is great for our fire engineers.
Yeah.
The Pierce equipment also is able to provide more equipment storage, and we ran into that last year with our assistance by hire contracts with Cal Fire, where the Type 3 engine was in Napomo, and then it spent a month in San Luis Obispo. We were constantly bringing equipment up to the crew because they couldn't carry it with them. The Pierce will will accommodate all of the needed storage for things that we didn't used to have to carry, such as the ballistic personal protective equipment. And lastly, cancer is a leading cause of illness and death in the fire service and the Five Cities Fire Authority. We've really focused on mitigating those risks, whether it's station exhaust systems, second Nomex hoods for our crews after they're finishing a firefight but still have salvage and overhaul. And the last thing is removing any of those toxic items from the cab where the crew is driving, responding to a call or returning. We're very confident with the storage capabilities of the piers that we'll be able to maintain that clean cab initiative.
Yeah.
Lastly, we looked into joining a buying consortium by the name of HGAC, and we actually have filled out the paperwork to become a member because HGAC is a buying consortium which will allow us to buy just about anything at a pre-negotiated and discounted rate. What I found was when it comes to fire apparatus, there's a $2,000 processing fee to go through HGAC, and after consulting with general counsel, I'm confident that we have the justification for a sole sourcing agreement to stay with Pierce Manufacturing. Almost done. Let's talk about financing. So I reached out to four financial services providers and asked about lease estimates, including payment and interest rate information to mirror a 10-year period, as we do with our two Type 1 fire engines. And the rates range from 3.22 to 2.45, and staff is recommending PNC finance for a couple of reasons. They're not necessarily the lowest rate, but they're very competitive at 2.72. I think the most significant differentiator with PNC is that they're the in-house financing arm of Pierce Manufacturing, and their contracts have a three-party agreement, which basically holds Pierce's feet to the fire to deliver that rig in the agreed-upon time frame. Otherwise, Pierce is responsible for any interest associated with our lease payments as a penalty for a late delivery. To me, that is the selling point of going with PNC. Additionally, they're not a broker. They'll own the loan for the entire term. Fiscal impact, the total cost of the Wildland engine is a little over $451,000. The annual payment over 10 years at 2.72 is $52,000, just over $52,000. And using the cost-sharing formula as contained in the Third Amendment to the JPA, in the staff report you will see each member community's estimated lease payment, with Arroyo Grande at $23,000, Grover Beach at $18,000, and Oceano at $10,000. I do want to point out to Chair Storton that the city of Arroyo Grande will have sales tax generated in the amount of $32,000 with the purchase of this engine. And I'll leave it up to him as to whether he'll share it with the other two member communities.
We don't get sales tax. Doesn't matter to Oceano.
The engine's build time, you know, we've talked about this with the automotive industry, with computer chips and also steel. The engine build time is currently estimated to be between 13 and 14 months. I will take a pause there and answer any questions the board may have.
Great. Thank you for the report, Chief. I'll leave it to Jeff. Jeff, do you have any questions for the Chief?
Just one or two questions, and Chief, I apologize for not giving you the heads up about this, but I have full confidence that that you'll be able to answer my questions as they deal with the Third Amendment and then use of reserves going forward. I know there was a long-term conversations that under the Third Amendment that our contributions weren't going to change. So does the purchase of this vehicle outside of the kind of the time frame for the amendment is why you're recommending the lease payments, or can you just kind of explain that to us a little bit?
Sure. So assuming we didn't have the Third Amendment in place, and I will give you a teaser as to some information I'll share during my chief's report. So assuming that we didn't have the Third Amendment in place and we had significant dollars in our fund balance, and then I would be able to say to you that during fire season 2020, we've recovered another $760,000 in reimbursable revenues. Our fund balance would be looking fairly healthy. And I was thinking at the time when the crews were initially beginning the specification that we could potentially use fund balance to pay cash for this rig. I believe that after consulting with the city managers and the district manager, that the cost of money at 2.72% is a more preferred methodology to spread the cost of this without significant interest cost. To answer specifically related to the Third Amendment, the verbiage of a Third Amendment says a couple of things. Number one, it says the fire chief will make every effort to maintain the budget using fund balance as needed. But there is also a statement saying the fire chief may go to the member communities for additional contributions as needed. So I believe that the purchase of this rolling stock warranted me going to the communities for that additional contribution. Secondly, related to the Third Amendment, there is language that says should any member of the JPA withdraw, they have the option as to basically deciding whether they're going to take a piece of newer equipment with them when they leave or not. And if that withdrawing member were to opt out of taking a newer piece of equipment that had debt obligation associated with it, they would have no further debt obligation associated with that piece of equipment. They would basically walk away from it. Please ask me to clarify if that's confusing, but I just those are the two points I wanted to pass along.
Okay. I think that was a good explanation for me. Thank you, sir.
All right, Karen, do you have any questions for the chief?
Well, yeah, in regard to our JPA, our third agreement, we have an election, what, next June?
Yes.
Okay. And we're not taking delivery till 14 months. Although I like to think it is remote, there would be a possibility that Oceano wouldn't be in the game anymore before the truck arrived. I mean, I'm just looking at, I don't know. That would be my question. Then what happens?
So I think, again, I've consulted with...
I mean, there's just, the window is short. I think we'd still be in the game, but... And I don't believe it's going to happen, so...
I just, after consulting with the district manager, who just wanted to confirm that the first payment wouldn't be until the following fiscal year, and then talking to the other two, and just acknowledging to the board that I understand we're in a third amendment to the JPA, but we still need equipment such as this, and we need the investment. I believe that, yes, if there was that outside chance that Oceano was to leave the JPA, that debt would remain with the remaining partners.
Yeah.
Just as the term state.
But I don't think that's going to happen, but I just brought it up. And my other question is just maybe superfluous. The 1999 brush truck, who made that one?
I believe it's High Tech.
Okay. I was just curious because that's been a pretty good truck.
It has.
Yeah.
And I believe the only department in our region that still uses that equipment is Santa Maria.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not saying. No, I think we need to go with Pierce because of all the other equipment that's with Pierce and the good service department. Yes. Anyway, thank you. I'll shut up.
Sure.
Thank you, Karen. Chief, thank you for the explanation. That was one of my questions too. Was kind of the process of debt and ownership with the new equipment. Just to clarify, the election will be in March, not June. Is that correct?
I think it's in June.
As far as the... Okay. That's good to know for some reason.
I believe it's tied to the presidential primary.
Okay, very good.
It's tied to the mid-term primary.
Correct.
The midterm.
Midterm, yes.
But
sorry.
They changed it back to June as far as I know.
Yep.
Well, don't scare me.
Thank you. Thank you for that. As far as timing, getting it to the councils, did the city managers give you any indication as to how quickly that turnaround would be?
Great question, and thank you, and I promise I will answer your question. I just it reminds me to frame the staff report that your approval is contingent upon budget approval. So both city managers have these projected lease payments in the second year of the two-year budgets for Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. And so once those budgets are adopted, and assuming that these payments stay intact in the draft budget, we would not be placing the order before July 1 for certain. We would wait for the cities to formally adopt their budgets.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that. All right, Tricia, let's open it up for public comment, if there's any.
We have not received any public comment.
Okay, thank you. I'll bring it back to the board if you have any further questions or comments. Jeff, do you have anything?
I did have just one, and I think I know the answer to this, but it'll be good for clarification. So, Chief, based upon the wildland fire season in California, the likelihood is that this piece of apparatus upon arrival will be heavily used and probably will end up paying for itself in reserve balances. Obviously, we're not going to commit to that. We're not going to bank upon that, but the likelihood is that this will be a heavily used piece of equipment. And then secondarily, you will attempt to surplus the existing one for nominal nominal benefit to our budget as well.
Okay, two great questions. Excuse me, let me take the first one. So I'm staring at the reimbursement tracking spreadsheet that we used for fire season 2020. And while I see that we received reimbursement of about $178,000 for vehicles, to segregate which incidents were the type three would take me some time. But I just want to focus on what I was going to share for the fire chief's report, in that we received remittance advice from County Fire, Cal Fire, for our assistance for hire agreements, where the type three and crew basically spent 6 weeks on assignment as a de facto county fire asset last year. You may remember they were at Station 20 in Napomo, and then they were at Station 12 at headquarters on Santa Rosa Road. Just taking the apparatus reimbursement for the Type 3 for that assignment is $90,000. And if you look at $90,000 and compare it to what the proposed lease payment is, it's nearly 88% of making the first 2 years lease payment. And that's just on basically one assignment. So many agencies buy the Type 3 and say it's going to pay for itself on mutual aid deployments. And I think that lines up with what you mentioned. Secondly, the current Type 3, obviously it's not going anywhere for 14 months. And what our plan is operationally is to balance and observe how we respond to wildland fires in our service area with the Type 3 engine that we currently have, the patrol that sits at the Oceano Station, and the UTV, which is about to go into dispatch. So we will be studying the dynamics and trying to figure out the best approach to responding to those incidents. And we may come back and say the Type 3 engine's worth $5,000 to sell, but we believe there's benefit in keeping it. So we could definitely surplus it, but we're going to be taking a look over the next 14 months while we're waiting for the new Type 3 to see the dynamics of our response given the UTV.
Very good. Yeah, thank you for that explanation. And definitely are in your paycheck today, Chief.
Aaron, do you have any follow-up questions or comments?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. I just have one question based upon Jeff's question. So when we get reimbursements, that those funds come back to the fire authority, is there a benefit that is transferred to the member agencies as a result of those, I want to say extra funds, that's probably not the correct term, but as we build perhaps some additional cash as a result of that reimbursement that may be above and beyond our expenses, can you explain the value of that money for each of the member agencies moving forward as we look to purchase new equipment in the future? Does that question make sense?
Certainly. So I would ask that that my answer be framed around a scenario where we weren't living within the Third Amendment to the JPA, where we were not self-funding ourselves using fund balance, but we were maintaining a fund balance for emergency purchases. So using that scenario, as the reimbursement returns to the general fund or the fund balance, the board makes policy decisions, right? So the board was interested at one point at talking about a policy that would identify a percentage threshold as a goal to maintain fund balance for contingencies. The board has also supported staff recommendations in allowing designated fund balance to be created for vehicle replacement. So I would say the benefit to the member communities is twofold. One is, as this reimbursement comes back and we ask the board to designate it for vehicle replacement, and currently we're using some of this fund balance for fund vehicle replacement, that's not additional funding that we're coming to the member communities with. We're reprogramming this reimbursement to keep our fleet reliable. It could become a policy decision if we were to accumulate a really large fund balance to say a couple of things. I'm spitballing at this point. Chief, we want you to work with finance and we want you to pay down some of your PERS liability. Or we want to take some of this fund balance and we want to lower our member community contributions in the subsequent year. Again, all of those scenarios I'm alluding to would be in a period outside of the current Third Amendment where we're using the fund balance to make the gap between flat community contributions for the next couple of years. Does that answer your question or give you the perspective you were looking for?
Yeah, it does. I think it's very helpful and probably things we need to dive into a little deeper as we discover how the next year is going to go. But I think they're important points. Thanks for the clarification. All right, if we have no further questions.
I was just going to make one comment.
Karen.
It's fine to somehow bank on that money, but that money is extra money that may or may not show up in any given year. So, like, you can't guarantee or begin to rely on that money for any fixed purpose. It's got to be extra money.
Correct.
I mean, that's, you know, you don't go divvying up money that you don't get this year. Anyway,
right.
Thank you.
I'm in agreement with that as well. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. I'll bring. I'll come back to the board for a recommendation and motion.
I make a motion. We authorize to lease purchase a replacement Type 3 Wildland fire truck with Pierce Fire Truck Company, I guess. Thank you.
I will second that and just ask a friendly question if that includes the adoption of the cost-sharing methodology for the purchase, authorizing the fire chief to solicit a lease purchase finance agreement, and adopt the resolution of intent and affirming prior board approval of the purchase and financing for the replacement Type 3 Wildland fire engine.
Karen, would you be in agreement with that?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I just didn't get the whole...
No problem, and I just wanted to make sure it was added that it was contingent upon the approval of the member communities to your budgets, just so there's clarification as to that approval happening prior to the purchase, if you're in agreement with that, Karen.
Yes.
And
great.
I am
so we have
well.
A motion. Great, and a second from Jeff. Are you clear? Is staff clear on the motion?
Staff is clear
make
on
sure.
the motion.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Can we get a roll call, please, Tricia?
Yes. Board Member White?
Yes.
Vice Chair Lee?
Yes.
Chair Storton?
Yes. All right. Passes 3-0. We will move on to item C under our next item, which is the consideration of the fiscal year 21-22 budget. And I'll bring it back to the chief.
Thank you. So we've talked a lot about the Third Amendment in the previous item, and the Third Amendment is a very significant driver in the preparation of the fiscal year 21-22 proposed budget document that we're bringing forward to your consideration today. And again, as we discuss and the board considers approval of this budget, again, know that it's contingent upon approval of the three-member community budgets as well. Knowing that the community signed the third amendment to the JPA and have guaranteed a fixed funding amount for the next several years. So the member communities already have a contract in place where they're going to fund at this level, but the formality is our budget cannot go into effect until the member communities all approve their budgets regardless. So staff took a really comprehensive review of everything that was in the existing budget, compared it to our actual expenditures, and we prioritized needs. You know, every budget season, I reach out to those employees who have program management responsibilities and just inquire as to what their needs are, what equipment is coming up for replacement, and such, as we sit down and we look at the operating budget. We have managed to keep the operating expenditures, so all of the non-salaried expenditures, to keep them flat with last year's expenditures, even though that there's drivers in there that we can't control, such as insurance and fuel and equipment maintenance or apparatus maintenance. We've managed to keep a flat budget. Again, with payroll-related costs, as you know from your own communities, or if you operate a business, there's things that are non-controllable, whether it's pension-related or insurance-related or negotiations-related, workers' comp premiums and open positions. There's always things that are more fluid in the payroll-related cost categories. So some assumptions that went into this budget presentation, obviously we're living within the Third Amendment to the JPA. We're going to make an assumption that all positions will be filled this year. Currently, we have an open captain's position, and we're planning for a promotional process, which will allow an engineer to be considered for captain, a firefighter to be considered for engineer, and then we'll have an open firefighter recruitment, knowing that our reserves will be part of that process. Also, Local 4403's MOU was a one-year term. It's expired. Negotiations have commenced. We do have a closed session planned for later on this call. We are going to order the Type 3, and while it doesn't impact this annual budget, it does impact the cities and their two-year budgets. We do have an increase in cost from Cal Fire, County Fire for dispatch, and that's based on the cost per call basis of that agreement. We're going to replace a utility pickup truck, replacing a vehicle that's 26 years old. Has more than served this organization well. If you've looked at the cash disbursements report, you saw over $2,000 in repairs because of a 26-year-old vehicle. We have been awarded a grant for a third UTV trailer, so both costs and revenues have been adjusted to reflect that grant award. And we're going to replace equipment, needed equipment. Our gas monitors have reached their supported useful life. Hose nozzles, this will finish our standardization, so the same nozzles will be on every piece of our equipment and some other equipment. And lastly, but worth mentioning, is as the board knows, we take advantage of the Defense Logistics Agency or Military Surplus Program. And Engineer Silva, working with Captain Tommy, Captain Tom Huey, our EMS captain, they were actually able to get some automatic external defibrillators made by the same manufacturer that we use. And these are actually monitors that, if the time came for Five Cities Fire to transition to advanced life support or paramedic service, these monitors would be ready to go into service as ALS. What we are planning to do is take these literally free monitors, send them to the vendor for refurbishment and reprogramming, and they will come back as BLS compliant monitors with some additional features, again, virtually at no cost. So those are some of the highlights of the budget. Talked about staffing a little bit during my presentation, but I just want to point out there could be operational impacts by going through a promotion to fill that open captain's position. As you know, the reserve program still resides at Station 3 in Oceano. There's two folks that are doing their best to fill three positions. And at least one of those folks is very interested in going through the promotion for a full-time firefighter position. So it could create a quandary where We're going to do our best to keep Station 3 operating with less reserve firefighters. The option is to do a reserve firefighter recruitment, which is both expensive, and I'm not sure it's logical given the timing of the Third Amendment. Just the essence of the message is the fire chief will do his best to manage both operational capabilities and budget related to potentially losing one of our reserve firefighters. Fiscal impact in the staff report, as you know, FCFA revenues, they're really dependent on member community contributions. It reflects 98% of our total revenues. So with the constraints of the Third Amendment, using fund balance to offset operational costs is going to continue to strain that fund balance. Obviously, you've been following the news, this wildfire season that's coming towards us with a preview in Santa Barbara last evening is projected to be on par or worse than last fire season. And while that's a horrific thought, it does reflect the potential for unbudgeted revenues coming back into fund balance based on our deployment patterns. I will now return it to the board for any questions.
Thank you, Chief. Jeff, do you have any questions?
No specific questions, just a quick clarification, I guess. So, Chief, thank you for the explanation and understanding the constraints of the Third Amendment. So I guess my only question I have is related to process, realizing that you're asking for us to effectively approve this budget subject to the member agencies approving their budgets. Is there a reason why we don't just defer the formal approval until the June meeting? I'm just trying to think of when Grover's budget approval is. I think it's the 14th, so it would be before our next meeting. But I'll defer to you for specific dates or thought process.
Thank you. And I'm remiss in not acknowledging that Nicole Valentine, our acting treasurer, is also on the line. Should there be any deeper dive financial questions, Nicole's going to be more than capable of responding to those. To answer your specific question, June, because of scheduling, our meeting has actually been moved to the 11th. So at the June 11th meeting is where we'll take final action on weed abatement and potentially, based on where this board ends up, formal adoption of the budget. Arroyo Grande, I believe, has their budget scheduled for the 8th, but there's also and then Grover's the 14th with a fallback, I believe, of the 28th. So I'm not sure if our timing with June 11th will allow for both communities to have adopted their budgets. That's why staff's recommending that this budget be approved contingent on the unanimous approval of the member communities.
Understood. Thank you. Yeah, I've forgotten we were moving the June meeting to the 11th, which is before the Grover budget hearings. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Karen, do you have any questions?
No, I just... you know, our budget is status quo, and I see we had a 10% increase in calls in 20 over 19, and I think this year our calls are going to go up another 10%, and it's interesting that we're holding a static budget at a time where our work is increasing rapidly, and I think maybe the general public needs to be aware of that, too, that it's not costing them anymore, but they're getting more service is what I'm trying to say. Anyway, it's just an interesting fact.
Okay. Thank you, Karen.
Yeah.
Chief, I just had one question in looking at overtime costs. I know historically they tend to go higher, and we probably underestimate our actual costs. I think one thing that people don't necessarily understand or really pay much attention to is that you provide a service that's available to our communities 24 hours a day. It's not a 9-to-5 job, and having those people in place available is important. But can you discuss a little bit the driver of the increase in overtime costs?
Certainly. Let me start by saying that when I joined the authority, overtime was acknowledged as being under budgeted. So the budget may have remained constant, but the actuals every year were increasing, and without any anomaly in driving the overtime. So just to address a couple of things, and I appreciate the setup with your question in that this is an emergency services organization working 24 hours a day. It's more efficient to have our people work on a shift-based schedule with basically giving them a modified 56-hour work week. So there is some overtime built into their regular shift schedule, but it's far more efficient than staffing more people to cover that 24/7 time window. The other drivers of overtime are attributed to things like the open captain's position. We have minimum staffing requirements where every day we must have a consistent number of personnel working at our fire stations to serve our communities. And sometimes that requires overtime, whether it's the open captain's position or someone's on vacation or sick, or unfortunately if they're out on workers' compensation and haven't been returned to full duty yet. Those shifts need to be filled, and that requires overtime. Additionally, we've had two positions designated for our county regional hazardous materials response team, and for about 3 years, one of those positions has been vacant. And I will tell you, the regional team is being impacted by retirements, and so we made the decision, and we've designated Engineer Joe Silva as the second team member associated with this. So should there be call-outs or required training, every fire department in the county is under the understanding that we're going to invest in supporting our staff being part of this team, knowing that the benefit of the entire team coming into one of our communities more than outweighs the limited overtime for training and drills. Additionally, Captain Patrick Ferguson is a designated safety officer on our Type 3 incident management team. Should that team be deployed as it was for COVID, Patrick would potentially incur overtime in responding to that team assignment. Sometimes those assignments for the team are reimbursed, such as his time for the COVID-19 clinics was reimbursed, thankfully, because the county received some federal dollars. But all of those things serve to drive overtime. I hope that gives you a little perspective on your question.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. All right. I'll take it out for public comment. Tricia, do we have anybody online wanting to make any comments on this item?
We don't have any public comment.
Great. I'll bring it back to the board. Any other discussion or questions? Otherwise, a recommendation or motion?
I'm prepared to make a recommendation that the board adopt the resolution approving the proposed fiscal year 21-22 budget and appropriation of all revenues, acknowledging that actual funding of the proposed budget is dependent upon unanimous approval by each member agency of the Five Cities Fire Authority.
Second.
Thank you. We have a first and a second. Tricia, can we get a roll call?
Vice Chair Lee?
Yes.
Board Member White?
Yes.
Chair Storton?
Yes. That item passes 3-0. We'll move on to board member items. Do any of the board members have any feedback, consensus to direct staff to prepare any further information or request any items for a formal agenda?
Nothing here.
Nothing
Thank
here.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you. And we'll move on to fire chief items. Chief, go ahead with your updates.
Thank you. So I've already given away my joyful news that Tricia and I received remittance advice from County Fire, Cal Fire, related to our cover assignments. And just to refresh you a little bit, last year during fire season, then Unit Chief Scott Jalbert came to local government agencies saying, all of my state resources are gone, much of my county resources are gone, and I still have to cover the county. Is there any way any of our local government partners could rent me a crew and fire engine? And we did that along with community or organizations such as City of Paso Robles and Atascadero State Hospital Fire. Tricia and I received the remittance advice this week, which is the precursor to the check arriving it reflecting that we're going to be receiving $243,000 in additional revenue from these cover assignments. The huge benefit of these cover assignments was not only were we helping protect our own county while resources were all throughout the state, but my commitment from the SLO County unit chief was if a significant incident were to occur within our county, I was going to receive that engine, so in essence a fourth engine company with crew to assist us. And actually at one point we did see our crew respond back into the jurisdiction to join us. I believe it was for a vegetation fire in the dunes. So it was a benefit to the county. It was a benefit to Five Cities Fire. It's $243,000 in revenue, which, you know, drives us up to a total amount of $760,000 for fire season 2020. I wanted to make sure you were aware of that, with close to $100,000 of this reimbursement being vehicle-related. Second, I've alluded to promotions. I'm working with our Arroyo Grande HR contact and to set up some promotions for captain, engineer, and firefighter. More to follow on that. Our crews continue to be heavily engaged in training, whether it's chief officer classes in Paso Robles, where we have people enrolled, wildland urban interface drill at Camp Roberts, which our folks are doing a controlled burn today, and the countywide, actually multi-countywide drill is tomorrow at Camp Roberts. Our crews are wrapping up RT-130, which is required annual refresher training for wildland season. My area command team that I'm on is currently on its two-week standby activation window, and I will be taking the class for liaison officer. It was the last piece I needed to be signed off officially for the position next Wednesday and Thursday in Paso Robles. I'm excited to report a couple of things related to our nonprofit support group, Friends of Five Cities Fire. I was asked to attend an impromptu recognition event for former Grover Beach council member Bill Nichols, and he was also a longtime FCFA board member. His homeowners association in Grover Beach was recognizing him for his 18 years of service to the HOA, and in his name wrote a check for $500 to Friends of Five Cities Fire. So I was honored to be able to be there to recognize Bill, and I had Barbara Harmon from our Friends Board of Directors with me as well. Friends of Five Cities Fire financed a training door, forcible entry door prop. That has shipped from the East Coast to the tune of about $9,000. It will be delivered. It's set to be delivered here by the end of May. We'll see how things go with that. Lastly, I know I've been talking to you about the financial analysis of a PISMO CAL FIRE contract versus different iterations of multi-station costs. Those numbers are pretty finaled. I'm waiting to sit with the managers. I hope to get that done in the next 30 days because I just received data points and charts, which will, you know, numbers are one thing, but it's really the charts that show operational impacts. I want to present a balanced document to the managers and then bring it to the board, and after the board blesses the findings of the report, make it available to any of our member communities. One more thing. I will be leaving to drive up to Camp Roberts today to go observe what's going on with our crews. Captain Tom Huey has been very involved as part of the training cadre putting together this Camp Roberts wildland and urban interface drills with departments from Santa Barbara and Monterey County, along with aircraft participating. He's put a lot of time and effort into it. So I wanted to get up there and take a peek as to what's going on with our Five Cities Fire-centric burn exercise this afternoon. So that's where I will be. That concludes my fire chief items.
Thank you, Chief. Jeff, do you have any questions to the chief about these items?
No questions from me. Thank you. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Karen. Do you have anything?
Yeah, I have kind of a loaded question, maybe. You know, you reported all this money we've collected, and I think it would be a god-awful project. Is there any way of knowing what our actual costs were in relationship to the money we've received? Are we making a profit? Is it straight across? Are we losing money? Do we know for sure?
So I think the biggest driver of responding out of county are going to, as everything in a service-based business, are the people costs.
Yeah.
So, you know, our reimbursement is about $465,000 for personnel.
Yeah.
And you know, you look at what drove the overtime overage when we looked at the mid-year budget adjustments, you can see
yeah.
that this reimbursement kind of offset that expense. But the engine replacement and the administrative fees, which total, I was always a strong C student in math, so I'm using a calculator. About $270,000.
Yeah.
I'll say that's money in pocket.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to offset some vehicle maintenance that was needed, but that was us getting reimbursed for a daily rate for our vehicles or hourly for the engines, plus an administrative services fee for coordinating our crews.
Yeah. Okay. Plus, there's no way to count the actual experience, you know, that our crews are out somewhere else. They're getting actual field experience that they might not get sitting in the station here.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that we can't even measure. So, yeah, it seems to be very much a good deal all around. That would be my basic thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. I don't have any questions. I'll open it up for public comment should there be any for any questions for the chief regarding items that he has provided to us. Tricia, do we have any public comment?
We do not.
Thank you. We'll move on to general counsel items, which we have none today. Now we have board communications. Any comments that the board would like to share at this time? Jeff, I'll start with you.
Just a sad acknowledgement, obviously, of the events over the course of the last couple weeks with our emergency services provider and the loss of the life of Luca Benedetti. I know that's always a possibility of occurrence. You never want to see it happen, but when it does occur, it is heartwarming to see the outpouring of support that the entire emergency services family brings together, and the service yesterday and the procession yesterday are just a small example of that. And while we hope it never happens again, the outpouring of love and support for police and fire and emergency services is nice to see. And I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Jeff. Karen, do you have anything?
Nothing more. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Jeff, I just want to say thank you for that acknowledgement. I had worked at the City of San Luis with the police department and was on the final interview panel for Luca when he was hired, and he was a fine young man and served his community well. But it is great to see the outpouring of support that was provided by numerous members of our community, and I just want to say thank you and echo your comments. That's it for board communication. We will be moving on to closed session, and I'll leave it to our counsel to announce closed session.
Thank you, Chair. board is about to convene in a closed session related to a conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. Agency negotiators R.J. Johnson, Nicole Valentine, Carla Maddox, and Tashina Urino. The represented employee agency or group is the International Association of Firefighters, IAFF Local 4403.
Great. Thank you very much. We will move on to closed session. So I'll adjourn the meeting. Everybody has their information to get to our Zoom meeting. So I will adjourn the meeting, and we'll just see you shortly. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. 9:59.
Bye-bye.